Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
This morning before the service, an inactive deacon came up to me and said, I hope you don't look too much at me today. I may fall asleep. And I told him he better pay attention to the sermon because that's what it was about, was falling asleep during the preaching. A young lady is concerned regarding her spiritual life. She believes in God. She's a member of a Christian church. She attends church services weekly and gives a tithe. Yet she still feels confusion and emptiness in her life. She sat in the pew until the pastor prayed the benediction. But it was all she could do to keep from falling asleep during the sermon. She prays and asks God for many things, but yet she doesn't quite believe that He hears her or answers her. She smiles and shakes hands with other believers at church, but she really doesn't care about them. She sings the hymns and says a few amens during the worship service, yet her actions are just mechanical. She cannot feel the touch of the Holy Spirit in her heart. And in the corner of her mind, she's asking herself, "What is wrong with me? Am I really a Christian? Am I really saved? What must I do to experience the real touch of God in my life?" Unfortunately, this young lady is not alone. There are thousands and perhaps millions of so-called Christians experiencing the same situation in their life. They suffer from apathy, spiritual apathy. You could be a Christian from birth, raised in a Christian family of Christian parents and Christian grandparents and Christian great-grandparents, yet such fact does not ensure that you are saved. You might be a seminary graduate, a pastor, or religious leader, but that fact does not guarantee that you are ignited with real fire and passion from the touch of God. You might be given the biggest offering of anyone at the church which you attend, but such fact does not guarantee that you truly love God and your fellow man. And I want us to be awakened this morning by the experience of Eutychus, a young man who fell asleep and fell out the window while Paul was preaching. And his story is found in our text this morning, Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 11. And I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 11. And this was the last meeting, last opportunity that Paul would have to speak to these people. "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'He's alive.' Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. There are four reasons I believe that Luke mentions in this book of Acts, in our text, that Eutychus, that is the cause for Eutychus' drowsiness and sleep and subsequent fall three stories out of the window. First, there was the lateness of the hour. Second, the many lamps which were burning in the room. Third, the window seat. And fourth, the long discourse or sermon by Paul. These are reasons which contributed to Eutychus sleeping and falling by their very nature. It's late. It's a lot of heat sitting in the windowsill. And the person preaching, Paul, has a long, long sermon. However, this incident was recorded in the Gospel of Luke, I believe, to demonstrate a significant fact regarding our spiritual life. The drowsiness, the sleepiness, and the fall of Eutychus is a mirror of our fading indifference to God, of our fading affection for Him, which causes us to fall into deep, deep trouble. In the following verses from the book of Revelation, the Apostle John initially records Jesus' commendation of the church at Ephesus. However, in the latter part, Jesus also declared an unexpected and tough rebuke of the church. Revelations 2:2-3, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Gosh, wouldn't that make you feel great if you were a member of the church of Ephesus about which Jesus was speaking? You know, you persevered, you routed out those who claimed to be apostles but were in fact false, and you drove them out of the church. But listen now to the stern rebuke of our Lord in Revelations 2:4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken your first love. The church in Ephesus is an example of many Christians today. They are godly on the outside. They have the appearance of being holy and godly and rebuking those who are false and those who are evil. But their fervor and passion for God's kingdom on earth has died. The excitement and zeal for God, their first love, has been forsaken. The same spiritual condition, this spiritual apathy, caused Eutychus to sleep while one of the most gifted and most anointed teachers of the Word of God, Paul, was preaching. And this conduct doesn't reveal necessarily the physical conditions that we talked about, the late hour, the lamps, the sitting in the windowsill, the long sermon. It speaks to Eutychus' heart. He does not love the Word of God truly enough to enjoy it. He does not care for his brother Paul enough to stay awake during his farewell message. So let's look at the causes of Eutychus' sleepiness and falling from the window. First, there's the exhausting lateness of the midnight hour. This is a natural culprit and sleepiness of Eutychus. If I preached till midnight, I dare say, well, no, none of you would be here. No, I started to say some of you would be asleep, but none of you would be here. But you know what I'm trying to say, that it's natural as the hour gets later to become sleepy. But Luke did not mention that any others at the meeting slept, that any others suffered from the fact that it was midnight and that Paul had been preaching for a while up until that point. Instead, they all bear with Paul until in the morning when he finishes preaching after he brought the young man back from the dead, or after God did through him. So why do some enjoy the teaching and preaching of God's word while others find it punishment and strenuous to endure sitting and hearing the message even for a short 30 minutes? Some of you may recall, because I'm sure many of us did, when you first met your true love, that you would talk way into the early hours of the morning till 2 and 3 in the morning and never feel tired, never want the night to end, never want the conversation to end. But then you go before a stern, angry boss who is very demanding, and the few minutes you're there seems like eternity. If you love the person that's speaking, and if you love what's being said, the time will make no difference. Spiritual drowsiness should be transformed to watchfulness and perseverance. We shall be able to do this easily if we have a burning love for God in our hearts. Those who are sleeping when they should be watching and praying will be surprised by the sudden attack of our enemy Satan. Second reason for Eutychus' condition was the comfort of the many lamps. Now, Luke reports that there were many lamps in the meeting room. And no doubt the warmth and the odor from the lamps would make anyone drowsy. Lamps also provide a sense of security and comfort, which allows a person to forget the lost souls in the dark. If we are to renew our love for God and wish to experience revival and spiritual awakening, then complacency in our lives towards God and His Word should be changed to compassion and to ministry designed to save and reach the lost. But those who are content with the comfort of their lamps of salvation become blind to the millions who are dying, unsaved, in the dark. The third fact that Paul identified as the culprit for Eutychus' condition was a window seat in which the young man was sitting while he was listening to the sermon. Let me say, I haven't seen anybody sitting in a window sill listening to a sermon, but I suggest that that's not a real good place to sit while you are trying to pay attention to someone that's speaking. But I think Luke was trying to say that those of us who sit on the window seat of compromise and continually explore the entertainment of the devil while trying to hear the word of God will be in danger of falling, will be in danger of falling into sin, will be in danger of not listening to God's word. And the fourth reason that Luke described as a reason for Eutychus' sleeping and falling out the window as Paul preached was the lack of his spiritual hunger for the Word of God. Obviously, Human nature tells us that a long, long, long message can be the natural culprit for someone not paying attention. But if you take a closer look, it may be a spiritual reason instead of a human natural reason. It might be that some people see the Christian life as dryless and lifeless. It might be that their hearts have lost its joy and appetite for hearing the Word of God. Now, I can say I've never attended a meeting where someone preached from afternoon till midnight and then broke bread and ate and then spoke until the morning. So I'm not here to tell you that it would be an easy task to listen to a message that long. But if you're caught up in the love for God and a zeal and a passion for bringing His kingdom to this earth, then I believe that you can overcome the natural physical problems that these four reasons would give us as human beings. And be enthused, and be involved, and be aware of what Paul is saying, and not falling asleep. If we desire to experience spiritual revitalization in our lives, what we consider spiritual dryness should be transformed to a passionate love for God. Those of us who profess to be Christians and yet possess no real hunger for the Word of God can be considered backsliders at heart. They need spiritual awakening through the Holy Spirit lest they fall from God's grace. As Eutychus fell out the window, we can so easily fall from God's grace and back into a life of sin and back into listening to Satan and back into rationalizing why we can do this and don't have to do what God's Word teaches us to do. It's clearly our choice if we fall as a Christian, if we fall from grace. God, of course, could prevent this, but He gave us free will. He gave us the ability to decide for ourselves. So He doesn't stop us from falling. He allows it to occur, yet in His unexplained grace and mercy, He uses our falling into sin to chastise us and to change us into better persons if we allow Him to do so. Some of you today may still be hanging on the windowsill. Some of you may have already fallen to the ground and you are dead spiritually and you need to be revived and brought back to life with a passion and a zeal to serve God and to study His Word. Whatever your situation, guess what? God is still willing to give us a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. To come back into the meeting of believers as Eutychus did after he was revived. And Paul came back and broke bread and they ate and he continued to preach until morning. Will you come to God and repent from your sin of spiritual apathy and complacency? Will you renew your love for God here today? Well, I can tell you it's never too late to do so. If you repent, you will be forgiven. We see so often, and it's been mentioned before by others of you who've spoken at Bible study and Sunday school, that we see the pictures of Jesus, and more often than not, He's there with outstretched hands, welcoming us into His arms, His loving arms that care for us. It doesn't matter that we've fallen. It doesn't matter that we've been a backslider. He doesn't keep account or even remember all the things we've done once we repent of our sins and ask for His forgiveness. Listen to the admonition of our Lord Jesus in Revelation 2:5. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What a sad ending. How sad that would be, that we don't love God enough to listen to His Word, to study His Word, to pay attention, to be vigilant, to always be ready to further His kingdom here on earth. But you have an opportunity today as you sit there, those of you who are believers, those of you who have accepted Christ, you have an opportunity right there in your seat to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for succumbing to the lateness of the hour or the length of the message. Help me to have that zeal that I had for you as my first love. When I couldn't do enough, when I was passionate about serving you. And those of you who have never accepted the gift of salvation, an invitation is extended to you this morning to come forward and let Him, with open arms, welcome you as a child of His. And give you that wonderful gift and have you receive that wonderful gift of salvation. We invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 456, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.